Okay.
Not because, yeah, because we realize I'm interacting with people that there is a little, there is needed a little more understanding about it. So yeah, so we, if we wanted to just probably have an expanded time of discussion on that topic, if that is okay.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, a number of people actually have been asking recently about the whole area of mountains and you know, what the significance of mountains are and all that. In essence, the first thing to understand with mountains, and when you're actually sort of looking at it, is that the mountain is a symbol of authority, and the mountain is a place of engagement. So if you look through the Word of God, you'll see mountains have been significant places of engagement with God, starting off the fact that Eden is the mountain of God. So the life, the river that's flowing out of Eden and flowing into the garden east of Eden was all part of the mountain of God. It was all part of God's kingdom. And now we know that's called Mount Zion. But we know from Ezekiel 28 that the fire stones were on the mountain of God, and it was described as Eden. So that's the sort of initial point. Then you get, obviously, the fact that Abraham took Isaac up to the top of a mountain, Moriah, and looked to sacrifice him. So that was a place that then eventually became equated to Jerusalem, where Jesus was sacrificed. So there are sort of symbolic encounters with mountains. You have Mount Sinai, you know, before that you have Mount Horeb, in terms of where Moses was called to go back with the burning bush. Mount Sinai with the encounter where he goes up, God comes down, and then they go up onto the mountain of God into the realm of heaven with the 70 elders. So, you know, lots of things there to do with mountains. And then, you know, you have scriptures like the mountain of the house of the Lord from Isaiah 2 and Micah being raised up above all the other mountains. And in that situation, that's a representation of God's government through his people, and that is an indication that all the other governmental systems of the world, which are lesser, will come to it. You also have in Daniel the stone cut from the mountain without hands that became a kingdom that increased and filled the earth. So you have these symbols of governmental authority that are related to mountains, and you have Jesus obviously going up into a mountain to pray. You have the transfiguration on the mountain. You have sermon on the mount on a mountain. It's, you know, pretty much indicating that mountains are pretty significant places. So when it comes to, therefore, the authority of God, it's always associated with a mountain and with thrones that are symbols of authority on the mountain. And in reality, my spirit is a mountain. You know, my spirit is arranged with the kingdom of God within my spirit as the area of God's rule, but that is behind a door that I have to open, that first love gate, to invite his kingdom, his presence, his rule to come into my spirit. And then within my spirit, there's the seat of government and rest, which he is invited to come on as a symbol that he is on the throne of my life. You know, and we talk about making Jesus Lord and, you know, things like that. So in reality, when it comes then to engaging the heavenly realms, and we talk about, you know, the mountains of authority in my life, the seven spheres of governmental authority in my life, again, there are symbols of as mountains. So you could see that my life has a mountain that I am a mountain in that position of government in the realm of heaven. So that is how God sees me in the realm of the kingdom of God as a mountain of authority. And therefore there is a throne there that I have to rule from, because if I'm a royal priest or a king and a priest, then I have to rule as a king from that position of government. And you have the seven spirits of God who are there to equip us into that position. Our mandate for the position, our authorization for the position, it's all about our governmental place as a son in the realm of the kingdom. And there is a progression of maturity in the outworking of that government. So Zechariah 3, 6 and 7, we begin to walk in his ways here in this realm. We then, as we're faithful to walk in his ways, we can then outwork his laws, which we do from the kingdom of God. Then we can have charge of the house, charge of the courts, and access to stand in the assemblies of God, where we operate in sonship. So there's a process of lordship, ruling with the authority of a lord who receives mandates from a king to operate on his behalf. Then you have a authority as a king to establish under the fatherhood of God mandates and legislations to begin to administer. Then you have sonship, which is where we are seated in heavenly places in Christ, according to Ephesians 2, 6. We've been raised up and seated with heavenly places in the realm of heaven. So you have kingdom of God, where we begin to operate in lordship. You have kingdom of heaven, where we operate in kingship, and therefore we then have access to the courts of heaven, and then heaven itself, where we are operating in sonship, which is where our governmental throne actually is, where we're seated with him there. And all this is about government. You know, it's all about bringing the kingdom, which is the rule of God, where he rules, the basilia of God. Now, we tend to think about a kingdom as being a place rather than the rule of God as his kingdom authority administered and outworked. Because we think of the kingdom, because Jesus said, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. So he wasn't talking about a physical kingdom that he was going to set up in one place that would then be his kingdom on the earth. He was talking about his kingdom not being an earthly kingdom, but he talked about his, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. So where the heavenly rule of God was, that was going to come onto the earth, and so that would then begin to be outworked. Now, that comes through our lives. Because the kingdom, according to Luke 17:21, is now in us. So the place where God rules is now in us, and as now we are a gateway of heaven, therefore that kingdom needs to manifest through us on earth as it is in heaven. So our authority is not just to do things in the realm of heaven, but also to see that outworked as the kingdom or the government of God around my life, where I have authority over seven areas, spheres of government, which are represented by seven mountains. And that's just talking about me personally. You know, so I am a mountain. I have seven areas to rule, and I rule not like I have to jump on each mountain one after the other and try and juggle the whole thing. My position of government as a mountain enables me to rule those spheres because they're all like a mountain range under a top mountain range. You know, and then as I get given authority to operate in kingship, I operate in a higher level of authority. And it's like my throne is mobile, like God's throne. So it's like when I'm operating in kingship, my throne is on the mountain within, but it's who I am there, because it's representing my position of authority, and I'm now operating in kingship. You know, that I eventually will operate in sonship on the mountain of God, Mount Zion, where I'm seated in heavenly places with him. So it's all about levels of government and progressive maturity as sons to operate in kingdom authority on those places of government. So when we're talking about, therefore, a blueprint for a vision, we have a blueprint for each of our lives, which gives us those spheres of government. We also have the fact that we can receive a blueprint for an ecclesia or a ministry or a specific area of government. So a blueprint will always carry with it a governmental aspect, because it's all about the kingdom, which is all about government. Now, I know people get all a bit sort of like, oh, it's all talking about, where's about our relationship with God? Our relationship with God comes in intimacy with him on the inside of us, in our own spirit, in our own heart, in heaven, as in the mountain of God and the garden of God there, throne of grace, tree of life, river of life, waterfalls, garden of God. All those things are our relational source of life. Our responsibility to rule and establish the kingdom only comes out of that relational intimacy with God, with the Holy Spirit, who is there to be our guide and there to be the one, the Spirit of truth, who will point us to Jesus, and our relationship with Jesus will then, he points us to the Father, and then the Father points us to the Spirit, and it just is a continual, intimate relationship of oneness, which then releases our responsibility for government as sons. Because Jesus is God's Son, and Jesus is the express image of the Father, and Jesus brought the kingdom. So he said, the kingdom is at hand. And he said things like, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom has come upon you. So he was talking about government, you know, and he demonstrated his government over the over nature, stilled the storm, shriveled up a tree, walked on water, turned water into wine, multiplied food, obviously raised the dead, did miracles, healings. All those things were his demonstration of the higher power of the kingdom in heaven over the sphere on the earth. So he demonstrated that. And as we are joint heirs with him, we demonstrate it. And we demonstrate that in the atmosphere around our lives. And we demonstrate it in the fact that he said that he was in heaven while he was here on earth. John 3:13 in the Amplified Version expresses that. And therefore, Jesus had access to dual realms to rule there and to bring that rule here through his life. And he therefore demonstrated what it was to exercise authority. But he wasn't looking for a political national kingdom. He was looking to demonstrate a spiritual kingdom which would transform people into who God had called them to be, so that they could actually demonstrate as sons the kingdom of God on earth. So if you therefore think of mountains as being the place where government is administered, then each blueprint will have a mountain. My blueprint for my life, my scroll of destiny, has a mountain, which is my position of government in heaven, in the realms of heaven, has a mountain. I'm involved with an ecclesia that has a mountain, and it has seven mountains associated with it, which is our spheres of government, as our blueprint as an ecclesia. The three of us as a bench of three sit on that mountain, and we release the other mountains to function. Every blueprint will have a mountain of authority associated with it. And that may relate to a physical place, if it's a physical ecclesia. It may relate to an area of government, like a parallel. You know, it may relate to a nation, a region, a city. I'm also on a local bench of three, which also has a mountain for our local area. And it has seven mountains associated with it. And of course, each one of those mountains will then have seven mountains associated with it. Because all the symbols of government are all reflecting God's government. So my life is a mountain. I have seven mountains. Let's say our ecclesia has a mountain and seven mountains. Each one of those will have a bench of three on it. And then they will have seven mountains associated with that. Because they will have seven spheres of, like, okay, we have our health mountain. Health is expressed in seven different spheres. That could be actual healing, physical healing, emotional healing, mental healing. It could be healing rooms. It could be a healing center. It could be whatever your blueprint says. But you have to understand that those will again be areas of government that people have to rule over. Now, all these mountains are reflections of what is going on in heaven, not a top down, I'm on top of the mountain and I'm going to tell everyone what to do. It doesn't work that way, because I serve. Leadership is servant leadership. Jesus was the servant king. He said in Mark, you know, I have not come to be served, but I've come to serve. So I serve those that I have authority towards. I don't rule over them. There is no priesthood on the earth. The only priesthood there is the order of Melchizedek priesthood in heaven, the royal priesthood. There is no longer a priesthood on the earth. So we can't call people priests here. We operate in priesthood there, because the tabernacle is no longer on the earth. The temple was destroyed. That was only, of course, the pattern anyway of what is in heaven. So we rule there. So, you know, when it comes to mountains, don't sort of think about the form of the mountain, because that's Greek thinking. What does it look like? It's more, what does it do? What is the function of a mountain? What is its purpose? That's the Hebrew mentality of anything. It's what is its function and purpose. So when we think about mountains, think about spheres of governmental authority. And then that will then help us to see this is about bringing government. The government has to operate on in heaven first, so that the kingdom, which is government, can be outworked on the earth, whether that is through me or in a sphere of authority that I have to administer. And, you know, therefore, I think when it comes to thinking about mountains, I wouldn't even be thinking about them before I was in intimacy with God. Because intimacy with God is what is the turning point that brings us from being good stewards here to becoming friends of God. And as friends of God, he then releases us into that position of lordship. So intimacy, friendship will release governmental authority. And then we can then look to be faithful in lordship, kingship, and ultimately in the fullness of sonship. Now, you know, you can't do one without the other. There's no point having loads and wonderful intimacy with God without taking responsibility as sons. And that responsibility is for kingdom, government, and rule. You know, this the original mandate given to Adam and Eve was to be blessed, so to be empowered, to be fruitful, to fill the earth by multiplying. So government can never remain in one area, it has to expand, hence Isaiah 9, there is no end to the increase of his government. So it's always going to be expanding. It should have gone from the garden, where they were mandated to subdue and have dominion. And they should have taken that mandate to the rest of the world. And therefore the world would have become the garden of God, in a sense of cultivated and tended. And then that rule of dominion would have been able to expand from this place to the rest of the created order. So our mandate has always been to establish God's rule as his children. Now you have it sort of the old covenant system of this was where it was in one place, in one nation, in one temple. Now that old covenant system is obsolete, it says in Hebrews, we have a new covenant system and a new wineskin. Now it's not in one nation, one city, one temple, it's in every nation, every city, every temple, because we're now temples of the Holy Spirit and we are where God rules. So we now are houses of God, tabernacles, if you like, where God rules in us. His throne is in us, and therefore we then can rule, because we are, in a sense, reflecting what goes on in heaven. So that's a sort of a thing. If I mean, please ask some, pick up from there and ask me some more specifics.
Mike?
Yeah.
When in Revelations 5:5, when Jesus breaks open the scroll, which is related to the living sacrifice, he breaks open the seventh seal. Is that our mandate over the seven mountains around us that need to be broken over? Is that really what that means then?
That certainly can be an interpretation of it, absolutely. And therefore, not just over one. Think of it as there is a blueprint or a scroll for every sphere of government on the earth, and for every solar system and every galaxy and every universe and every dimension, all have blueprints. Each of them are sealed, and each of them those seals can only be opened by the Lion of the Tribe of Judah as the king. And yes, when he opens those seals, it releases government. And that's really the symbol of it. And therefore that's what we're looking for, is we don't want a scroll which is sealed up, we want a scroll which is open. And hence now, if you think about it from the perspective of Daniel and the books or scrolls being opened for us, therefore there have been many things would have been unsealed, and therefore many spheres of government are now available which weren't before. And I think this is why now we're getting a maturity, or a calling to maturity as sons, so that we can begin to administrate those spheres of government. But we don't have to do it as in a separate way. You know, I think we need to do it as an integrated way. It is who I am. I carry government towards these areas, and I release that government from who I am, and I allow my spirit to lead me. I don't try and come up with a rational plan of how I'm going to administer all my seven mountains. Okay, well, there's 7 days of the week, so Monday I'm going to administer this mountain, Tuesday I'll administer that mountain. That really is just a human system. We just need to go before the presence of God on a daily basis, surrender as a living sacrifice, get our mandate for the day, which will authorize us to administer whatever we're called to do. And we just do what we see the Father doing, that he reveals to me. So we don't have to set up some sort of system. This comes out of relationship. So my relationship in engaging God in intimacy opens up my access into the tabernacle of the Holy of Holies. I can engage the four faces of God, which is the dimensions of his government, and in there I can receive my mandate, and if I go deeper into it and step into it, I can access what was, to bring that into what is, to begin to there shape what will be, all out of that position of government. And I do it as I'm led by my Spirit, being one with the Holy Spirit, joined to him in relationship, not out of any sort of system. Because immediately you start talking about government, obviously government has protocol and government has systems in place, but with God, they all come out of love, and they all come out of relationship. So we don't have to come up with a man-made system. So I'm sort of trying to say, not that I don't necessarily sometimes need to go to a particular court, or I need to get something authorized, or I need to legislate something. I do, but I do it out of my relationship of what I see the Father doing on a daily basis, and then I'm free just to do that. I don't have to do anything else, you know, and that is why the relational aspect is so important. But it is daily. You know, there's a daily opening first love gate, daily living sacrifice, daily engaging in my mandate to rule today. And that's what I'm responsible to do. And as I mature, then the dimensions of that increase and the authority that I have, so in proportion to the holiness that I'm living in, will release that into a greater sphere. And everyone, of course, has their own spheres. Some people's spheres are wider than others. That's fine. We only have to be us. We don't have to compare ourselves with anybody else. I'm not looking at my mountain thinking, oh, that mountain over there looks better than mine because it's higher or it seems to be bigger. I just focus on mine. You know, and on our mountain, there is the angel that has been assigned to us to help us rule. And he had ruled on our mountain for all the time that we weren't mature enough or in revelation enough to be there. So he organized our life for us. He set the seasons and called the relationships and made the kingdom connections. He was doing all that on our behalf, so that our life could be exhibiting some dimension of the kingdom, even when we didn't really fully understand it or mature enough to be there. So when we were babies and we weren't capable, God had a tutor for us or a caretaker for our mountain who was responsible for ensuring that the kingdom... Now, as we cooperated with that, and we embraced it as being God's will, then we came into it. If we resisted it, then the dimension of it was limited. And so even when we didn't realize we had mountains, we were still operating in government when we came into agreement with that on a daily basis. You know, I'm seeking first the kingdom. As I sought that, even when I was immature, I was still able to do many things in the kingdom. I just didn't realize and understand my participation in it in that realm. I just began to do things in this realm. But we have to operate in both realms if we're going to be fully operating according to the order of Melchizedek, which was Jesus's order. You know, that's how he operated. He calls us to be a royal priesthood, kings and priests. And he calls us to operate in apostolic and prophetic authority here on the earth, which is, again, governmental.
So. I had an experience regarding mountains that I wouldn't mind having you comment on. I was engaging on my family mountain, and you know, I went, did some decrees, did some stuff there, and you know, in my normal time with the Lord and just doing different things. And so I got finished and went back to bed, and just in that twilight moment, you know, just sort of relaxing, resting, I came upon this fierce battle. I was observing this fierce battle going on. First, I started to see angelic beings, and then quickly became this fierce battle going on, and I was sort of an observer to this, and then I found myself sort of in the middle of some beings, and you know, just kind of went on from there. They were talking, some were talking about Jesus, and others I realized were, you know, because of the test I did, I realized they were from the other side. So there was really a fierce battle going on. Can you comment on that, please? I think you're muted, Mike.
Okay. So yeah, when you're having an encounter like that, it's looking to understand the nature of it. Is this a vision, which is symbolic of something that is being revealed to you, that therefore will draw you into participation of? If it's a vision of something, then it's looking at what is the symbolism of that vision mean, because that's what you have to engage in. If this is, okay, I am actually in the realm of the kingdom of God, and I am observing something that is going on in that atmosphere, that is something which is actually the kingdom which is in light and dark. So the kingdom of God, the enemy has access into that kingdom, and in that kingdom, we are supposed to rule and bring light and remove the enemy's access. So if you're looking at a battle that you're seeing between angelic forces, that can be in different dimensions. That could be, you know, usually when it's associated with your mountains, it's usually about giants and dragons. So that's usually the imagery of, or ogres. They look pretty sort of nasty, horrible things. If you're thinking about, this could be talking about, because I've been administering on my mountain, and now I'm seeing what's going on in the atmosphere of the earth, because there are principalities and powers and rulers and wickedness. There are different realms within the atmosphere of the earth of authority. When we administer the kingdom from a higher realm, then things go on in the atmosphere of the earth, and actually warfare takes place there over what's covering our sphere. So let's say that's our life or our family. Are there generational principalities, if you like, over the sphere of my family that are operating in the atmosphere above us, and therefore affect the culture and the outworking of our family and how it works? So you may be saying, well, I'm doing some stuff in heaven, but there is a battle going on, because the atmosphere of the earth is empowered by the behaviors that go on the earth. And if you're looking at family dynamics, then you have to deal with the family dynamics in a court case legally, so that you can see the battle won over the atmosphere. And that might be for my personal life, it could be for an ecclesia, it could be for a city, a nation, where the atmosphere will need to be cleansed and dealt with. And that's where some of the fighting goes on, if you like. because what we do is resisted, and usually that resistance is because of legal rights on the earth. So, you know, and I guess you think of it in Daniel. Daniel was praying from here. God heard his prayer, but there was a battle to answer the prayer that was going on in the atmosphere. And eventually, you know, greater forces were sent to that messenger to get that messenger through. So it's an indication that certain things happen in the atmosphere. So, you know, when something happens like that, you know, immediately I wouldn't try and figure out in my mind. I would be then, if I'm journaling it, you know, take note of what was going on, and then if you need clarification, then it's like, go take it back to God. So what were you showing me? Is this something that is to be? So it's not something that's happening now. So you may have a vision which is prophetic of what is coming, and that will prepare you for what you need to do as part of that in the future. Is it going on now? If it's going on now, then okay, how do I participate in it now? What's my part? Am I just observing this? Do I need to actually take authority? Is it because I've already taken authority and I've already made decrees that this has caused this reaction to take place? And in a sense, that's something that only you can find out, you know, by, you know, getting that revelation from God himself, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and then knowing what you need to do about it. If it's for the future, hey, there's a battle coming, you need to be ready. You know, what do I need to do to prepare for that battle? Actually, what's my part in that battle? If it's present, is this as a result of something I'm already doing? Therefore, there's an indication that I need to do some more legal work. Because if there's a legal right, then that's what causes the battle. Where there's no legal right, the enemy's got no way of standing in opposition, you know, other than through deception, and that's only through us, not actually, you know, the angels and angelic realm are not going to be fooled. They will know what's going on. So it's an interesting vision, but my, you know, encouragement would be, you know, just go back and make sure you get some clarity on it, because that would be really, really important to understand, particularly if it's something you have to be ready for.
I'm sensing, just from, you know, just ruminating on it and from what you're saying, I'm sensing that it might be more generational and something that I need to take to the courts.
Yeah.
At this moment, yeah.
Yeah, and I think often the clues are, what was I doing when this started to unfold? And you said, well, I was on my family mountain and I was looking to do some things and decrees on my family mountain. And when you start making decrees which cause opposition or cause contention, it's clear that there is still some work to be done, you know. But, you know, that's good, because then you know, and now you can go and seek the revelation. What are these? I can go before the court, take my generational line, and demand to hear what the legal rights of the generationals are. You know, and once I've realized what they are, then I can identify with them, repent, renounce, deal whatever I need to do, and therefore then I can receive a mandate which authorizes me to govern and to command those things to be moved, whatever they are. Now the difficulty comes in other people in that sphere who may not be in cooperation with what you're doing, and that does create contention, because what you're doing is creating an opportunity for others to respond. If they choose not to, then they enforce the enemy's power over them, to continue according to the past, and you can't force that. You can only do your part in it. Others have to cooperate with it and yield and surrender. Otherwise, they continue over that their lives to give the enemy access. But you're doing your part, and that's all you can do. And do whatever God tells you to do, and continue to work that through. You know, you don't give up just because it didn't work straight away. Sometimes you have to continue and be persistent to enforce that governmental rule. But ultimately, people still have free will. You know, and people's free will, you know, God respects people's free will. You know, that's sort of how the kingdom works in one sense. Yeah, go for it. Okay. So in terms of mountain stuff, Elizabeth, is there anything more? Is there anything specific?
Mike?
No, I'm really glad that you spoke about, you addressed that issue there, because I've been in contact with some people, especially grandmas, who are really concerned about, like with a family mountain and their grandkids and so forth and their kids. And so they wanted the whole aspect of they having free will was very important. And like you told Angela just now, we do our part. You know, she saw what was happening there in opposition, but ultimately people have to choose. But I think it's encouraging that we do have authority in that place, in our family mountain or generational line, and we could play a part in clearing the area to give them they're able to choose, you know. So I think that's quite encouraging. So I think probably Bill was going to say something just now.
Okay.
Mike, so old wineskin would be when you're with someone and they're concerned about a situation and they say, let's pray about it. New wineskin is, let's go up to your mountain. And that's where you're going to do your decrees or whatever. We're not doing the stuff down here saying, oh, Lord Jesus, would you please blah, blah, for my job? I've had this problem. No, you go up to your mountain, and that's where you want to talk on that? Because I think a lot of people are still doing that. And the way I see it is, you don't want to be doing that anymore. You want to be going up the mountain every time you have a problem. You're in a meeting, you have a problem, go up to your mountain while you're in the meeting.
Can't hear you, Mike.
Okay. Is that right? Okay, can you hear me now? Yep. Okay, we're in transition, so many people are realizing that there's more than they knew, but often people default to the old until this is a lifestyle, you know, and therefore living this way is just who they are, because we've been conditioned to operate earthbound. So we pray, we're hoping God hears somewhere, and he responds, and we pray again, and we hope he hears, and we respond. And there's a way, even which in terms of all spiritual warfare and trying to deal with things that we see in the earth and everything like that, even, you know, all the things of the seven mountains, you know, the teaching on the seven mountains, all that stuff is trying to do things in this realm. Well, we're trying to rule that mountain from here. We're trying to change that from here. You know, if we're trying to do something underneath something else, then we're under it. Now, Jesus said that the enemy is under our feet. Well, where's the only place the enemy's going to be under our feet? If we're higher than him. And therefore, we do have to see that what God is calling us to do is to come into the place of authority in the heavens so that we can therefore administer above everything which is below it. And therefore we can deal with what's in the atmosphere. But we don't have to deal with that. We send the angels to deal with it. We have angelic armies to operate on our behalf. We have a whole different resource. And, you know, when we were babies, God had no problem changing our nappies and cleaning up the mess and feeding us and doing things on our behalf because we were babies. You know, you don't have babies who go into the throne room, you know, in a natural sense. You know, you don't have babies in the war room or in the governmental rooms. They don't operate there because they're not mature enough to understand. You know, babies operate in where babies operate. And it's okay to ask parents to do things for us when we're babies. That's what we do. Oh, can you give me my meal? You know, can you take me here? Can you buy me new clothes? You know, when we're that age. Before that, it's just, I need something to eat. I'm dirty. I need cleaning. You know, we cry. You know, that's what babies do a lot. They cry. Why do they cry? Because they're uncomfortable and they want something to change. That's fine at that point. So while we're maturing as sort of children, if you like, in the kingdom, it's okay to ask Dad to do stuff for us. When we have come to a place where, you know, if you are a teenager, I don't know, let's say you're 17, if you are asking your parents to change your nappies every day, there would be something wrong. If you are asking your parents to do everything for you, there would be something wrong. So there's a point where God says, when we say, can you do this, by praying and asking him to do that list of things that we used to ask him to do, he says, no, you have responsibility, you have the authority to do this. I have given you the power to make that decision, to move that mountain, to change that situation, because you are now in a place where you have that authority. I'm not going to do it anymore for you. And there's a transition period when you are teenagers to when you become adults, and now you have things you can do as an adult that you couldn't do as a teenager. You can actually vote. You can drive a car. You can have your own house. You can do things. You can get married. You can do things that you couldn't do before without parental permission. Now you have the authority to make those decisions for yourself. And God is wanting us as the church, his body, to come into a place of authority where we know him so well that we will do those things on his behalf. We have his power of attorney to act in his name, to do his will and his purpose, because we know him. You know, it's like children who know their parents, know what pleases their parents and know what doesn't please their parents. And sometimes children choose to do things that please themselves, which do not please their parents. And therefore you have to deal with those situations. But ultimately, if we're intimate with God, we know God's heart, we know his mind, we know his purpose, we know his will, we know his destiny for us, and then we align ourselves with it so that we can operate in it as mature people, mature sons. So absolutely, everything is changing. We're in transition, and in transition, people often have a mixture of old and new because they're learning the new. What you find is the old becomes less and less effective once you have revelation of the new. And when you go back to try and do the old, it doesn't work. So that sort of challenges you, hey, no, I must make sure I operate according to the fresh revelation that I have, because then that will become more effective. You know, so it is definitely a place where more and more people are being drawn to the place of transition from old to new. But we can take the truth that we received in the old and see that truth from a new perspective in the new. It's not that everything is just jettisoned. We just do it in a different way. So I still need to administer, okay, let's say the spiritual warfare. I still need to deal with those things I see. If it's in people, I can still cast demons out of people. I don't have to go to heaven to cast demons out of people because that's something I do here. But the authority that I do it in comes from heaven because I'm connected and I only do what I see the Father doing. So the kingdom is manifesting through me as my gate, as a gateway of heaven to set people free on the earth. That's fine because I'm working with someone who's here on the earth. I don't need to ask God to cast someone's demon out. He's given me authority to do that. I don't need to ask God to do the things that He's authorized us to do here, but I need to do it in His authority and power as I'm joined with Him, as He does that through me, because I'm a channel of His kingdom to operate in this realm. But there are certain things that you can't do in this realm without having done them first in heaven. And even the casting out demons is only because of the authority that of the kingdom, which is in heaven, which will be your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because Jesus rules. He's above all rule and power, and that's why I can operate in that resurrection life power here on the earth, because He's in me, working through me. But, you know, we've got to be careful we're not too hard on people as they're learning, because we will default at times. Oh, yeah. Why am I asking God to do that? You know, because we've not learned to go to the throne of grace and sit in a place of rest. We sometimes get anxious. And therefore we try and do things or get God to do things in panic because we're not in a place of rest. Everything flows out of a place of rest, and therefore we administer out of a place of rest, not out of a place of anxiety or worry or fear or panic. We come from a place of rest and security in our relationship with God that releases us to function that way. Definitely a lot of mixture that goes on. But as we become more pure in heart, then it's easier to see God and then it's easier to reflect Him. And that's a process. You know, no one is going to know everything automatically from day one. It is a journey of discovery. And if we can find the place of intimacy and friendship and rest, then the rest of it will come out of that. You know, I need to be yoked to Jesus in relationship before I can carry the burden of responsibility for rulership. And I know when we're sort of talking about all these things, people they want the rulership stuff. You know, because it sounds good. Hey, I'm in heaven, I'm going to a court, hey, I'm changing the affairs of a nation, and wow, I can do all these things. You know, we're not going to change the affairs of a nation until we change the affairs of our own life. You know, and I know people are jumping on the bandwagon, setting up a bench of three here, setting up this here and there. If they're not on their own mountain ruling their own bench, you know, body, soul, and spirit, then, to be honest, it's a bit of a pipe dream, I think. You know, I think people can imagine that they're doing stuff and actually they're not actually doing it. You know, and there's a danger in, you know, trying to do things out of sequence. If you're mandated to do something, absolutely do it. But God is looking for faithfulness in our own life. You know, He wants us to rule in our own life. That's how He is going to reward that faithfulness, by giving us greater authority. You know, you're not going to be on a bench of three over a nation if you're not even on your own mountain. You know, and I think that's where the discipline comes in, of establishing the government of God in our own lives through the relationship that we have to establish. And that takes time and discipline before it becomes such a delight that we're willing to pay the cost of it, whatever it is. We have to be willing to choose. Am I going to pay the cost? Am I going to spend time developing my relationship? Or do I just want to take a shortcut? Because if we take a shortcut, we will definitely be operating on the wrong pathway. So, yeah.
Absolutely. That's really good, Mike. Thank you. That brings much clarification. Thank you for that. It's really good. Yeah, so do you guys have any other thing? Angela, fill in there. That's good. We can't hear you. Yeah, you got on mute. I see your mouth moving.
Do you want to ask Mike to go up to our mountains or do we have fire?
No, I don't think. Yeah, we're almost out of time. We have 4 minutes left. So that's cool. I think we got a good bit here. Yeah, Angela wanted to say something.
Well, maybe we can do that next time, but I was just going to say also, yeah, I realize we're out of time, but we wanted to mention about our last engagement with the three of us, four, with the bench. But I don't think we have time to do that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, we've got a few minutes if you want to talk about it. It's no problem. But,
what part of it, Angela?
Yeah, don't worry about it.